Are you tired of your content not getting the reach it deserves? Change that at Grow With Video Summit. From May 23rd through the 25th, join industry leaders like Gary Vee, Ollie Abdaal, Patrick Bet-David, Cody Sanchez, and more for strategies that will elevate your visibility and engagement. So go to summit.thinkmedia.com to secure your ticket. Just click the link in the description or go to summit.thinkmedia.com.
If your purpose is just to build your own life, I got news for you. That steam will run out quick. But when you are living to build other people's lives, now you please the heart of God because this is what He's all about. God views those who multiply as good and faithful. He views those who maintain as wicked and lazy. There is a call on every single person's life. And the Bible says this, for the gifts and the callings of God can never be withdrawn. Charisma are giftings that God entrusted to you and I to make a difference in the world.
How do you make sure that you're living up to your God-given potential? And what role do your unique gifts play in the building of God's kingdom as a content creator, as a business owner, and as a human? Well, I am so excited about this special episode of the Think Media podcast. We're uploading it on a weekend. And this is actually from John Brevere, recorded at our event, Grow With Video Live. Now, if you haven't heard, John is actually coming back this year, and it's going to be a super powerful session. But in this session, he was actually speaking to entrepreneurs, business-minded content creators, and ministry leaders and church leaders that want to grow their influence with video, but ultimately do it God's way. And so check out this session. And today's episode is brought to you by expandgodskingdom.com. If you haven't heard, we have a free on-demand class for Christian content creators. I'll tell you a little bit more about all that stuff later, but let's dive into this session with John Brevere.
I want to talk about this in specifically in the fact that I believe with all my heart that God has a very specific plan for your life. Now, I'm going to tell you just a little bit of my history. I was raised up in a Catholic church, and I had no relationship with God at all. I played varsity tennis at Purdue University. One of my fraternity brothers, who's one of the best athletes in the state of Indiana, came up to my fraternity room one night and started sharing with me. Many people had shared with me about Jesus before, but they failed and failed and failed. But he had my ear because he was such a phenomenal athlete. Well, I remember he made a statement to me. He said, John, can you tell me about the President of the United States? I said, absolutely. Jimmy Carter, his wife's Rosalind. He's a peanut farmer from Georgia. He was the governor of Georgia. He said, great, can you tell me about Jesus? So I told him what I knew about Jesus. I said, well, he was born of a virgin. He had 12 apostles. He died on a cross. He said, great. He said, John, do you know President Carter like you know your mother? And I said, no. He said, what's the difference? I said, well, she's my mom. He said, be more specific. What's the difference, John? I said, well, I've never met him. He said, so you have a personal relationship with your mother. You know her personally, but you've never met the president, but you know about him. I said, yeah, that's exactly right. He said, do you know Jesus like you know your mother? And I sat there with a blank look on my face, and I said, what? He said, do you know Jesus like you know your mother? I said, no. He said, John, God didn't create you to be religious. He created you because he wanted a relationship with you because he loves you so deeply. Well, that started me on a journey. I got to know Jesus personally. And this is the thing that I want to make sure is that every single human being has a relationship. Because when you really meet him, he's amazing. You know, unfortunately, he's been represented by a lot of religious people. And as a result, a lot of people have a skewed understanding of who he really is. Some people think he wants them to be poor. He doesn't want them to be successful. That is exactly the opposite. You know, I'll never forget, I was speaking at a business men's conference in Hawaii. I arrived early. My room wasn't ready. So I went and sat under the pool, or under the umbrella at the pool. And there was another lady sitting in the chair right next to me, and she was in the same situation. We got to talking, and she found out that I was a Christian minister author there to speak at a conference. And she said, well, I'm at a conference too. But when she heard that I was a Christian minister, she started telling me about her relationship with Jesus. Now, I knew within 1 minute, this woman had no idea who Jesus was. But she's going on and on and on about how well she knows Jesus. So I let her finish and I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, hey, what do I say to this woman? And he gave me the answer. So when she was finished, I said, hey, do you see the guy across the pool over there? She said, well, yeah. And she's a bit surprised that I've changed the subject so drastically. And I said, his name is Jim, And I said, he's a vegan. He won't eat anything that has eyes. The eyes have made it. He won't even eat honey. I said, he's that strict. I said, he wants to be on the United States Olympic swim team. And so he practices 3 hours a day. His hobbies are racquetball, skydiving, and polo. And do you see that woman right over there? She's 10 years younger than him, and that's her wife. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, well, is he at the conference here with you? And I said, nope. And then she looked at me and she said, well, how do you know him so well? I said, I've never met him. And then she's looking at me like, oh no, is this guy a detective? Is this guy a government agent? And I looked at her square in the eyes and I said, that's what I believe about him. And I looked at her and I said, you just told me for about 4 or 5 minutes about a Jesus who doesn't exist. I know this Jesus. I've walked with him for over 35 years, and you don't know him. And that's how our conversation began. And that, what I want to say to those of you who maybe do not have a relationship with Jesus, he loves you enough that he died for you and gave his life for you. But he also has a plan for your life. And this is what the Bible says. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Everybody say, to do. Which God prepared in advance that we should do. Let me say this to you. God has created you to do something and something significant. Now, success to God is impacting people's lives. Success to God isn't about how much material things you can build up, although he does want to bless you so that you can be a blessing. But success to God is how many people you impact. And so a lot of people don't realize that because they think if they're going to serve God, they have to go in ministry. Let me tell you something. I've got a really good friend who was a Navy SEAL instructor. So not only was he a Navy SEAL, but he was an instructor for 20 years. And I remember he wanted to meet me and have dinner with me, and we sat down. I said, what's your story? He said, well, John, I was raised in a Christian home, and I thought the only way I could serve God was to go into ministry. And he said, I went in for 3 years and was an utter failure. And he said, actually, they stripped all my papers because a girl accused me of sleeping with her in the youth group, and I didn't. And he said, so after 3 years of work at 21 years of age, I had nothing to show for it. And he said, so I started praying like I'd never prayed before, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I didn't call you to ministry, I called you to military. He said, John, I signed up to become a Navy SEAL. And he said, when I did, I didn't realize Navy SEALs had to swim because I couldn't swim, and there was a reason. My ear canals were so small, they had to operate as I was growing up and put tubes in my ears. If I got one drop of water in my ear, I was in excruciating pain. He said, so I had to teach myself how to swim in pain. He said, I prayed every day that God would heal my ear. One day I went 3 feet under, 4 feet under, 10 feet under. He said, I started swimming. He said, then I went through Hell Week. And he said, while I was in Hell Week, I was running on the shores of San Diego. My foot goes into a hole. I tear everything from my knee down. And he said, my Navy physical exam, Navy SEAL physical exam was that week. If you flunk that, you can never become a SEAL. He said, I go to the physical, the doctor fails me. I said, Doc, this is my life calling. I know this is what I'm supposed to do. He was very stern and said, are you questioning me? I'm an officer. One of his friends, after he had flunked out of the SEALs because of his physical, said, hey, I've been going to a Bible study. You want to come with me? So he goes to this Bible study, and there's an officer. And there is an officer that's leading the Bible study. He had never been there before, never seen the officer. And the officer's telling the cadets and the other men in the service how to be led by the Spirit of God. And he said, you know, he said, just yesterday, a report came across my desk flunking a Navy SEAL because of the physical. I felt it was wrong, so I overwrote it. After the Bible study, he found out that he was the one. So he became a SEAL for 20 years. And he told me his missions. Yeah, that's amazing, right? But then I look at me. I wanted to go into corporate America. I was at Purdue University studying engineering. I want to go to corporate America, and I want to make a lot of money. I want to be a CEO of a corporation. And God had different plans for me. And that's what I want to talk to you about is He created you, and he knows what's best for you. Are you following what I'm saying? And so there is a call on every single person's life. And the Bible says this, for the gifts and the callings of God can never be withdrawn. So calling is what you're supposed to do. Gifting gives you the ability to do what you're supposed to do. Tell you a quick story. About 6 years ago, I was in Southern Cal, and one of our partners who has helped us get books into the hands of pastors and leaders all over the world, he took me out to play golf, and after we played golf, he said, you know, John, can I be vulnerable with you for a few minutes? I said, sure. He said, you know, I just turned 50 years old. He said, I have worked my tail off the last 3 decades to build my businesses to where they are. He said, my net worth's over $9 million. My wife's cared for life. My children are cared for life. He said, why? Now listen to his question. Why should I work as hard over the next 10 years as I have the last 30 years? And I knew this was a moment. And I knew the answer that I'm going to give him is going to shape his life for the next 10 years. And I looked inside and I said, Holy Spirit, what do I tell this man? And he gave me the answer. I said, Stan, I want to answer your question with a different scenario. I said, as you know, I've written, at that time it was 17 books. They're in over 100 languages. I said, they're in the tens of millions. I said, I've gotten on planes and I've flown all over the world, over 12 million miles. I've stood on platforms all over the world. I've stayed in little 400 square foot hotel rooms for as many as 229 nights a year. I've eaten some of the craziest foods. I said, you know what? My wife's cared for life. My children are cared for life. Why should I get on another plane? Why should I write another book? He laughed at me. And you know what he said? I wouldn't want to be in your shoes when you face Jesus. I said, Stan, you just said the exact same thing. And he looked at me. We're on the downtown 405 in LA. He looks at me and he's like mad at me now. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, Stan, God has placed a calling on every single human being's life. And with that calling, he gives us unique gifts. And those unique gifts gives the ability to us to fulfill that calling. I said, we can do one of three things with those unique gifts that God's placed on our life. I said, we can use them only to build our lives and amass our riches. I said, or number two, we can use them as intended to build people's lives or build the kingdom of God. Or number three, we can just sit on them and do nothing. I said, you know what the problem is? You see my gifts and you see how they're helping people. So you've connected my dots. You haven't connected your dots. And I'll be honest with you, Stan, your gifts are more valuable than mine. He said, how do you see that? I said, the Bible says the parts of the body of Christ that are not seen are more valuable than the parts that are seen. You have an unseen gift. I have a seen gift. Your gifts are more valuable. Well, I remember 6 months later, I get a call from him. And I said, Stan, how you doing? He said, you want the honest truth? I said, yeah. He said, I've been haunted every single day by the words you spoke to me 6 months ago. I said, what are you doing about it? He said, I'm busting my rear end to build my business up to $35 million so I can impact more people's lives. Well, I got a text from him last year. And you know how he signed the text? $70 million Stan. When you have a purpose, you are going to be motivated in the correct way. If your purpose is just to build your own life, just to build yourself, I got news for you. That steam will run out quick. But when you are living to build other people's lives, you enter into a calling that now you please the heart of God because this is what he's all about. He wants people helped. Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? And so the Apostle Paul writes a verse that is so powerful. And I'm going to talk to you about this verse for the rest of the time. He says in Romans chapter 12, he says, having gifts, everybody say gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, remember I said to Stan, God has given every single person gifts. Well, what is the root word of that word gift? In the Greek, it is charisma. But I want to look at the root word of charisma first. It's the Greek word charis, which means grace. Now, a lot of people, when they hear the word grace, they think, oh, that means salvation, that means die and go to heaven, that means forgiveness of sins. What a lot of people don't understand is that God defines his grace as his empowerment. He said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is all you need for my power. Works best in your weakness, or that's your human inability. Do you know a survey was done all across the United States? Over 5,000 people who go to church on Sunday morning were polled, and the question was asked, give three or more one-word definitions of the grace of God. Do you know what the overwhelming response was? Salvation, a free gift, and forgiveness of sins. I'm glad American Christians understand that. But here's the tragedy. Only 2% of those 5,000 said grace was God's empowerment. Yet that's how God introduces his grace. And so what is grace? It is God's empowerment, listen to me carefully, that gives you the ability to go beyond your natural ability. Now, I'm going to tell you something about what God's created you to do. It is impossible for you to fulfill what God's created you to do in your own ability. How do I know that? Because God says, I'll never let anybody share my glory with me. So if God makes what he's created you to do capable of being accomplished in your own ability, he'd have to share the glory with you. And so God on purpose created you to do something that you don't have the ability to do, so he gets all the glory. But that means you can't accomplish it unless you operate in those gifts that he gave you. And those gifts are called charisma. Everybody say charisma. All right, now, this is a Greek word that literally means this. I'm going to show you the definition of charisma. It is a specific gift of grace that empowers an individual to fulfill what they've been created to do. All right, now, what would be some of the gifts, charismas on my life? Are you ready for this? Number one would be writing. Okay? Now, what many of you don't know, and most of you don't know, is my very worst subjects in high school were English and creative writing. You think I'm kidding? It would take me 4 hours to write a one-page paper. And if you still think I'm exaggerating, do you know what I scored on the SAT in English? 370 out of 800. Let me help you understand this. In all my travels, I've only met two human beings that scored lower than me on the English on the SAT. And one guy, because he had guessed at all the answers. So when God comes to me in prayer in 1991 and says, son, I want you to write. I said, okay, you got so many children on this earth, you're getting us mixed up with one another. You don't want me to write. Just talk to my English teachers. So he said nothing. And I took his silence as an agreement to my rebuttal. Well, 10 months later, two women come to me from two different states within 2 weeks of each other. And they both said the exact same words to me. They said, John, if you don't write what God's giving you to write, he will give the messages to somebody else. And one day you'll stand in judgment for it. Well, when the second woman said it from the state of Texas, 2 weeks after the first woman from Florida, the fear of God hit me. And so I said, okay. So I grabbed a notebook piece of paper. This is 1991. We didn't have iPads. I grabbed a notebook and I got a Sharpie and I put contract. I wrote a contract with God. I said, God, I think you're making a huge mistake. You have much better writers. I need grace. And I signed the contract. Now today the books are in the tens of millions. Sean was so kind. They're in 129 languages in the world. Okay. Do you know that I'm the most published author in Vietnam, both secular or Christian? And I can name that in 30 other languages. I was asked to do a conference in Korea, a national conference. It was in Seoul. I arrived, first time I'd ever been in Seoul, Korea, or Korea, anywhere in Korea. They said, would you do a press conference? I said, sure, I'll do a press conference. So I think there's going to be 5-6 reporters in the press conference. I go in, there's TV lights, there's 32 reporters, 5 television stations, and the third largest newspaper in the nation of Korea. And my first statement was, what are you all doing here? They said, well, your book's been on our top 10 bestseller list every single month the last 2 years. We want to know who you are. And so when I look at these books that now are in the tens of millions, I realize I wasn't the one that wrote it. It was the gift of God in me that wrote it. Remember, it's his ability he entrusts to us. Are you with me? And you know what another thing that was tough for me to do was to speak publicly. Do you know the first time Lisa heard me speak 40 years ago? First time, she's in the front row. She's sound asleep. 5 minutes into my message and doing this the whole time. In the front row, her best friend next to her is a woman from Southern California. She was our maid of honor in our wedding. She was in such deep sleep, I watched drool come out of the side of her mouth. Now I speak to 5,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people, 25,000 people, 35,000 people in Indonesia. People say, do you get nervous before you speak to that many people? I say, no, not at all. They think, are you being arrogant? No. It's because I know it's the gift of God. And if the gift of God doesn't show up, everybody's going to sleep. But it always shows up. Because charisma is actually God's ability that he entrusts in you. Are you following this? Okay, now, Paul the Apostle makes one more statement that I've got to bring out to help you understand what I'm talking about. He makes this statement. He said, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards. Everybody say servants or stewards. Everybody say stewards. Stewards. Say it again. Stewards. Okay, what is a steward? A steward is somebody who manages what they don't own. They manage what somebody else owns. What would be a steward for me right now today? A steward would be the guy that runs my 401k. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the definitions of a steward. A steward is not micromanaged. I do not call my 401k guy every other day saying, what did you invest in today? I couldn't care less because I know he's better at that than I am. He has to chase me down once a year to tell me what he did. So Paul the Apostle is saying to all of us that we are stewards. What are we stewards of? You are stewarding God's ability that he's placed in your life, because that gift can never be removed. So God actually placed an ability on you, and if you don't have a relationship with him, you don't know what that ability is. I thought my ability was going to be being in a sales manager for a big corporation or a CEO for a big corporation, when in reality, God says, no, it's writing how I'm going to send you to impact multitudes of people. And so having a relationship with the one that he entrusted you the gift is paramount to fulfilling what's on you. So you could be stewarding something you don't even know you have. If you look at Akiana, she was 8 years old, and what did she paint? The Prince of Peace, a painting that is worth now over $1 million. She did it when she was 8 years old. How did she do that? The gift of God. She was raised in an atheist family, but she started having experiences with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she painted him at 8 years old, and her whole family now is following Jesus, but they were all atheists. If you look at a surgeon has tapped into a gift that God has given him. If I operate on you, you are going to die. We might as well set the funeral. But if that surgeon with that gift operates on you, guess what? You're going to live. Because God's given us these gifts to show the world, the people that don't know him, that he's really alive. So like if you're an ER nurse and you're walking with Jesus, the charisma in your life should be so profound that the doctors are scratching their heads going, how is she getting these ideas on saving people's lives? We have more training than she does. Charisma. If you're a third grade teacher, you should be coming up with ways of communicating wisdom and knowledge to your students that nobody's ever thought of before. And all the principal and the other teachers are going, where is she getting this from? Charisma. So every single one of you, God's placed this charisma on your life. And that ability gives you the ability to go beyond your natural ability to impact people's lives. And the thing is, you're a steward of it. And God's not micromanaging what you're doing with it. That's why I commend all of you for being here to try to grow in the ability to reach other people's lives. Are you getting this? All right, now, I want you to notice what he says. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. Say it again. Faithful. Say it really loud.
Faithful.
Okay, I have asked leadership teams for 12 years to give me the definition of faithful. I'm not going to do it this morning because I don't want to lose time. But God says, as a steward of charisma, I require one thing of you, and that is to be faithful. Okay, so I've asked, what is the definition of faithful? I want you to stop and think about it. What do you think of when you hear the word faithful? Well, I'm going to show you the top answers I've received from business groups, from ministry teams all over the world. These are the top answers. Look at this.
Hey, we're going to get back into this episode in just a second. But if you haven't heard, growwithvideolive.com is coming up soon. And this year's speakers include Dave Ramsey, Pat Flynn, Shalene Johnson, John Brevere, and more. Now, Grow With Video Live is the number one event for building your personal brand and business with online video and YouTube. And our event is attended by a lot of church creatives, pastors, ministry leaders, and those running nonprofits as well. Basically, anybody that wants to make a greater impact, reach more people, and really do that through the power of video and these online platforms. And so to get your ticket for growwithvideolive.com, just head to that URL or click the link in the show notes to see all of the details. And let's jump back into this episode of the podcast with John Brevere.
Steadfast, consistent, dependable, reliable, loyal, true, trustworthy, devoted, and truthful. Does that sound good? Yeah. If you go to the thesaurus, you'll find all those words there for faithful. Here's the tragedy, and I want you to listen because this is where I'm really leading up to this morning. I mean, I'm really starting what I want to say. You got it? Okay. In all 12 years of asking leadership teams the definition of faithful, I have never heard one person give me one of the most important definitions of faithful. You say, what is it? Multiplication. See, multiplication. Yeah, what? That's what I'm saying. That's not a definition of faithful. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, no, Webster didn't say it was. Well, he should have, because he followed Jesus. Jesus defined faithful as multiplication. You say, whoa. Where do you get that from? Parable of the talents. You ever heard of that? All right, let's read it. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, and he delivered his goods to them. What is he making them all? He's making them stewards. He's giving them what belongs to him for them to manage while he goes on a long trip. Let a man consider us as stewards. Are you following this? Now, he identifies three of the servants. And each of these servants are given what's known as talents. A talent is actually a bag of silver, about a 75-pound bag of silver. All right? It's pretty big. Now, how many of you know that Jesus is never really talking about what he's talking about when he tells a story? Right? He uses seed for the scripture. He uses wheat for good people, tares for bad people. He is not talking about money here. What is he talking about? Charisma, our giftings that God entrusted to you and I to make a difference in the world. We are stewards of that ability of his that he entrusted to us. So mine would be the writing. Mine would be the speaking. Are you following me? All right. Now, I'm going to personalize this to make it more real. Ashley, I'm going to say Ashley, she gets 5 bags of silver, or let's say it correctly, 5 charismas. Dave gets 2. Larry gets 1. If your name's Larry, no identification intended this morning. All right. Now, he goes on a long trip. The Bible says in his story, right? And he's on this long trip, and you know what he tells them to do before he leaves? He said, occupy or do business until I return. So in other words, you go out and take what I own and you do something with it. So now what do Ashley and Dave do? They work really hard and they end up doubling what was entrusted to them. Ashley made her 5 into 10. Dave made his 2 into 4. Go ahead and hit the thing, right? And Larry, he maintained. He didn't lose, but he maintained what was given to him. Okay? So now after a long time, the master comes back and he wants them to give an account of what they did with what he entrusted to them. All right? Ashley and Dave come forward and they said, okay, we doubled what you entrusted to us. Ashley said, I made my 5 into 10. Dave said, I made my 2 into 4, right? Look what the master says to them. Well done, good and faithful servant. Stop right there. If that's all he says, I cannot equate faithful to multiplication. However, look at the next 3 words. You were faithful. Stop and think. There is no other action, attribute, virtue ascribed to them other than they multiplied. It doesn't say Ashley was patient with people. It doesn't say she was forgiving. It doesn't say she was steadfast. She was consistent. She was dependable. She showed up to meetings on time. It doesn't say that. Put the scripture back up there for me just for a second. You were faithful. The only thing Jesus said she did was go from 5 to 10. And there's a reason for it, because Jesus directly equates faithfulness with multiplication. He said, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So when you hear the word faithful, you should hear multiplication. You shouldn't just hear. You should hear steadfast, dependable, reliable, loyal, true, trust. But you should hear multiplication. Sure, it's quiet right now. I thought you guys were noisy. They told me you were noisy. Are you getting this? All right. Now, here comes Larry, lockdown Larry, okay? So Larry, he got the one talent, right? And he maintained it. And what does he say when he is examined? He said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Problem number one, he doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know his character. He's like the woman at the pool. He thinks he's a hard man. He, all these religious people have given him such an image of a mean God that beats people up. Okay, so he doesn't know the character of God. So if you don't know the character of God, if you don't have a relationship with him, you're not going to multiply. Not the way he wants you to. Because I think one of the great, great sorrows for many people is going to be they're going to go to the judgment seat and Jesus is going to say, look what you could have done. But you never really came to know me. Therefore, you didn't know what I put on your life. I knew you to be a hard man. Number two, and I was afraid. Number one thing that will cause the gift of God in your life to go dormant is intimidation and fear. Number one. Hey, do you know that one of the most Christ-like people in the whole New Testament was a guy named Timothy? And a lot of people think if I'm Christ-like, it will automatically kick in the gifts. Because Paul has to write to Timothy two letters and say, Timothy, the gift of God in you is not working. Engage it. So if just being godly engages the gift in our life, then Timothy would have engaged the maximum potential. No, you have to purposely engage it by faith. And that's why I'm talking to you about this morning. Are you still with me? All right. He said, I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look at the judgment of this guy. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Go ahead and hit the button for me, guys. You wicked and lazy servant. Okay, I get lazy but wicked because I'm seeing wicked and servant in the same sentence. This guy belongs in the kingdom. Now, obviously, Jesus doesn't use words lightly like we do. So I have to have understanding. Well, first of all, let me talk about lazy. Lazy means to shrink from or hesitate from something worthwhile. Nobody in here is lazy. But what does the word wicked mean? It means possessing a serious fault and consequently being worthless in regard to our labor. So you could have a desire to make an impact, but if you have a fault and not understanding the gifting that's on your life, you might be trying to do what somebody else is called to do. You know, the most miserable people I meet are people that try to, listen, operate in other people's gifts instead of discovering what's on them. Wouldn't it be really amazing if this morning my thumb said, I'm going to speak to these guys? My thumb's not gifted to do that. My mouth is. My mouth is the one that communicates to groups for the last 35 years, not my thumb. But if my thumb tries to do it, it will frustrate you and it will frustrate itself. Happy is the man and woman who knows their gifts and operates in them. Miserable is the man or woman who tries to operate in somebody else's gift. Maybe Larry's a little frustrated because he didn't get five. Maybe he's a little perturbed that he was only given one. Who knows? But he possessed a serious fault that kept him from being fruitful in his labor. Now, what does that tell us? God views those who multiply, listen carefully, as good and faithful. He views those who maintain as wicked and lazy. Nobody in here has a desire to maintain this morning. I think I'm pretty safe to say that. Am I right? Okay, so now watch. Watch what happens. The master says, take the talent from Larry and give it to Ashley, who has 10 talents. Okay. Can I make this really clear? Ashley starts out with 5, ends up with 11. Larry ends up with 1. Larry starts out with 1, ends up with 0. Now, I'm going to give you the backstory of how I discovered that math. 6 years ago, I'm in prayer, and I hadn't read this story in the Bible in months. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he said, son, the way I think lines up more with capitalism, not socialism. Okay, now stop right there. Don't you dare walk out of this meeting and say that John Bevere said God's a capitalist. I didn't say that. God makes this statement in Isaiah, the way I think is different than the way you think. Okay? He said, the way I think lines up more with capitalism. I said, God, I am never saying that from a platform. There is no way, especially in an election year, and it was an election year. I said, I'm not saying that unless you give me scripture. So the Holy Spirit said, turn to the parable of the talents. So I go over there and I start reading, and when I got to that verse, I started doing the math. And I found out that Ashley ended up with 11 and Larry ended up with zero. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, can I show you what the hypothetical socialistic thinking God would have done? I said, sure. He said, I would have given each of them three. Look at this. He said, now Ashley and Dave would have been faithful. So what does faithful mean? They would have multiplied. They would have ended up with six. Larry would have maintained his three. He said, the social, hypothetical socialistic thinking God would have taken one from Ashley, one from Dave, and given it to Larry. So they all ended up with five. Can you hit the button for me on the PowerPoint, please? No, Ashley ended up with 11. Larry ended up with zero. Now look what Jesus goes on to say. It gets even worse. Ready? Because let me tell you something. God never tells us in Scripture to take care of the lazy. He said, take care of the poor and needy. There's a huge difference. Sure is quiet here right now. Okay. Look what Jesus, how he caps this parable off. He goes, for to everyone who has, okay, let's read it in context. For to everyone who multiplies, more will be given. Do we have anybody in here that's multiplying? For to everyone who multiplies, more will be given, and he or she will have an abundance. But from him who maintains, even what he has will be taken away. What was God's first commandment to man when he puts him on the planet? Be fruitful and multiply. He wasn't just saying have babies. He was saying anything I entrust to you, return it back to me multiplied. Let me tell you a few stories, okay, and then I'm going to close. I have a friend. His name is Mike Rogers. And Mike came to know Jesus when he was 11 years old. Listen carefully. At the age of 35, because I made three phone calls to Mike to make sure I got the facts straight. At the age of 35, this is what he said. He said, John, I got fed up with being a fruitless Christian. I said, what did you do? He said, I memorized 2,000 scriptures in 6 months. Smart man, because the wisdom of God is like sharpening an axe. Your axe is sharpened, you're going to do a lot more, right? In that 6 months, he went to a conference in Phoenix. And he was so broke, he had to stay with 11 college students in a two-bedroom apartment. In the conference, the leader, whose name was Tommy Barnett, said, hey, I want you to pray about what to give in the offering for the conference. So Mike said, I went out, sat under a cactus, and he said, God, what do you want me to give? And he said, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Mike, I want you to give $200. And he said, God, that is every penny to my name. And the Holy Spirit said to him, Mike, I'm not asking you for any more. So you'll get that in a few minutes. All right. So he gave every penny to his name. He said, I had to bum money. I had to bum gas money just to get back home. He gets back home and God starts giving him ideas. This is the way God begins multiplication. He gives you ideas. He starts getting ideas and he starts implementing the ideas. He's not lazy. And all of a sudden he starts making money and he felt like, you know what? I'm going to give $100 extra of what I normally give every single month. And he did it that year. The next year he said, I'm going to give $400 extra every single month to the kingdom. And he did that. The next year he said, I'm going to give $1,000 extra every month of what I normally give to the kingdom. He did that. The next year it went to $2,000. Next year it went to $3,000. Next year it went to $40,000. Next year it went to $5,000. The next year it went to $10,000 every month above what he normally gave. He said, John, then it kicked in. I said, bro, it's already kicked in my book. He said, then it went to 17,000, then it went to 25,000, 35,000, 50,000, then it went to 100,000, then it went to $150,000 above what he normally gave every single month to build people's lives. I said, Mike, 150,000 every single month. I said, Mike, what do you live on? He said, oh, it's really funny. My accountants who've done my books for years just told me. He said, I live on 10 to 15% of what I make. I give 85 to 90% away every year. And you should see how good he lives on that 10%. It would make most people envious. And you know what he laughs and says? He says, everybody gets wet when you're in the river. So here I am, and God's gift on my life is what? My gift is to write books. I write a book in 1994. And in 1995, it becomes a national bestseller. Every bookstore in America was sold out within 2 days after being on an international talk show. The book has almost sold 2 million copies, but I got frustrated because, you know what? I would go into conferences, speak to 10,000 people. 80% of them would respond to the call to forgive. but only 700 books would sell. And my mind went to 9,300 people just left this arena and they didn't get the message because I can only speak out of about one chapter of this book. And so God gave me an idea, build a curriculum. So I built a curriculum. I went into a studio. I did 12 lessons. I walked through the book chapter by chapter. I did a teacher's manual, got a company, did teacher's manual, did workbooks. Well, it started exploding. 25,000 churches within a couple years are using these curriculums. Business people are using them to help get their people free from offense, right? Well, I started doing it with the rest of our books. May the 31st, 2010, my wife's in England speaking at a conference. I just get done playing a round of golf. I go to my basement. I'm reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit fills the whole basement. He said, this is what he said to me. This is where this message came from. He said, you've been faithful with the English-speaking community. I want you to get your resources in the hands of every person in the world that can't afford them. I went, what? Every leader and pastor in the world that can't afford them is what he said. I said, what? So now, the next year, we gave away, you know, I remember my whole team was in the boardroom at the beginning of the year, and I said, guys, how many books did we give to pastors? I've always wanted to give away more books than we sell. How many did we give to leaders overseas last year? And one of my guys looks at the report, and he goes, 33,000, and he's really excited, right? And I said, that's pathetic. I said, this year, we're going to do 250,000. The whole room went silent. My wife said she tasted throw up in her mouth. My COO started arguing with me for 20 minutes. I finally slammed my fist down on the table. I said, we're giving away 250,000 books this year. We all walked out of that boardroom. Listen, everybody was shaking. My COO looked at me the next morning and said, I'm a little shaken by how strong you were with me. I said, you know, I didn't ask you if you think we should, and you argued with me for 20 minutes. He said, would you please pray about it? I said, okay. I didn't. I went back to him. I already did. And I said, okay, we're going to do it. So some guy out of the blue calls and we didn't even tell people yet. He said, I heard you want to give books to pastors overseas. Here's the check for $300. A couple months later, a businessman flies from Texas to Colorado. Said, I heard you want to give books to pastors. Writes a check for $750,000. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh. So then we start a golf tournament. You know what we did that year? We did 271,700 books. You know what we did the next year? In 56 nations in 54 nations in 46 languages. The next year we did 1.3 million. The next year we did 2.7 million. Now, in the past 5 years, on average, we are giving away 6 to 8 million physical resources to leaders and pastors all over the globe. Our grand total has exceeded. We just this year went over the 50 million mark on physical resources. It was in 2018. I'm standing in front of our Broadmoor Messenger golf tournament. And I said, guys, I'm so fed up because I was hearing stories from our business people that were going into Mongolia, Myanmar, all these nations. And they said, John, they got your book. I was in a white tent, 8 hours from the middle of nowhere in Mongolia. They got your book 1 month earlier and already 10 people had written it. And he thought it would make me happy. It made me frustrated. I thought, why did 9 people have to wait for that one guy to read it? Every one of them. And what about all the people that haven't read it yet? So I said, we're going to develop an app. And so what happened was when I made the announcement, one of the top app companies, developers in the world, heard about it. They've done Lush, they've done L'Oreal, they've done Royal Caribbean, they've done Maybelline. The CEO had been reading our books for years. He flies up to Colorado. He said, we want this account. What do we need to do to get it? I said, fine with me. You're passionate. You got it. He put his best designers on it for a year and a half. And last January, we launched Messenger X. Listen to me carefully, in just 16 months, this app has been downloaded in 226 nations of the world in 16,900 cities of the world. Contentful, who's done Peloton, they've done British Air, they were so blown away by how this app has exploded that they've done a case study on us. They can't figure out why. Just last night, we had, I think it was another 1,200 new users come on. The night before, it was 1,500 new users. It's literally exploding. We've put all of our courses, our books are on there in 116 languages. It's probably the first app in the world that has over 100 languages. Now, this is all from a guy who's playing tennis at Purdue, grew up in a town of 3,000, and I was intending to go into corporate America. Would I have been successful in corporate America? I would have been your average guy, probably. But what happened? I linked up to my Creator. I found out and discovered what He had put in me. And now, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, I had nothing to do with this. It was just because I yielded myself to my Creator, my Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm impacting people, millions, hundreds of millions of people all over the world because of His ability. That's what He wants to do with you. And that's why I'm so honored to stand in front of you this morning. I want you to bow your heads. And I want to pray. If you're in here this morning, you say, John, I'm like you were in that fraternity. I know about Jesus, but I don't know Him. Let me tell you how to enter into an authentic relationship with Jesus. The Apostle Paul said He's the groom, we're the bride. The Apostle Paul says that a marriage between a man and a woman is an illustration of the way you enter into an authentic relationship with your Creator. When a woman walks down an aisle with a white dress on, she's making a pretty strong statement. She's saying goodbye to about 3.9 million guys. She's saying, this is the one and only guy I'm giving the rest of my life to. The only way you can be saved is not by doing good works. The only way you can be saved is by doing what a bride does on her wedding day. But you do it with Jesus Christ. You say, Jesus, my life is all yours. He will change you from the inside out. He will empower you from the inside out. But you must give Him your life. You must call Him your Lord. You must know that He loves you deeply, so deeply He died for you before you ever knew who He was. How much more will He take care of you now that you belong to Him? If you've never done that before and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord, Master, and Savior, and I'm not going to live for myself anymore, but I'm going to live for Him. You want to do that with your heads bowed, every head bowed. Just put up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Whoa, look at the hands. Man, there's about 120, maybe 200 hands lifted. All right, and all you people virtually, put your hand up right where you're sitting. Okay, put your hands back down. If you're in here this morning and you say, John, I want to multiply. I do have a relationship with Jesus, and I want to multiply. Put your hands up. Okay, let's all stand, and I want to pray. And God's going to do something pretty amazing here. I want you to close your eyes. This is not going to be religious. I don't want you to draw on your experience at a church. The presence of God is about to come in here in a very profound way. So I want you to just lift your hands up. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to turn into your heart. And I want you to say these words, God in heaven. Say them out loud. God in heaven, forgive me for living life my way. Apart from You, my Creator, I am so sorry. And I'm changing that today. Today, I give my spirit, soul, and body, everything I am, everything I have, to Jesus Christ. Jesus, You are my Lord. My life is fully Yours. I give You everything. Change me. Give me Your nature. And give me the ability to impact many lives. I ask that You would give me the charisma, the grace to multiply what You've placed on my life, that it can benefit many, many people. I ask this in Jesus' name. His presence is here. You're feeling a warmth on you right now. Some of you are actually feeling a tingling. That's the presence of the living God. He's showing you that He just adopted you into His family, and you belong to Him forever. There's His presence right there. Right there. Now, Father, I want You to say Your first words to Him. Don't make them religious. I don't care if you say, You are so cool. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Yep. And now let's give Him praise. Amen. Amen. Okay. You can be seated really quick. I want to say this. We have about 40 courses that we've made. 40 courses. We used to sell them for $100 each. Okay? We made a decision. We were going to give them all away. So when we created this app, we have 40 courses. We have 8 audiobooks that I've written. We have Lisa's books. We have others' books. We have other books on there. And it's all no charge. So I'm going to put up the QR code. Okay? If we could put that up there on the screen. You can download Messenger X if you've got... If you have an iPhone, you could just go to the App Store. You can just put your thing on the barcode. Or you can go to Google Play if you got an Android. I want to say this. There are 3 courses. I want you to look at... Did you enjoy what I spoke on this morning?
Yeah.
All right. We have 3 courses that are all in line with this X book. Multiplied. Or the first course is Called. Second one's Multiplied. Third is Gifted. They're all on that app. That's 30 lessons, 15 minutes each. To really dive deep into what I shared with you this morning. It has been a great honor and a privilege to be able to impart into such great leaders' lives. I love you guys. God bless you.
So I hope you enjoyed that session with John Brevere. And if you actually want to go deeper with the content that he was just sharing, check out his book, X, Multiply Your God-Given Potential. This is actually one of my favorite books. And of course, we'll link it up in the show notes. And in the book, he really talks about the parable, the talents, and the importance of us being fruitful and multiplying our God-given gifts and talents. It's a really practical book for content creators, for influencers, for entrepreneurs, and for pastors and leaders of all kinds. And I'm so excited that John Brevere is coming back to Grow With Video Live this year. You know, I actually was exposed to John's content back in the day, maybe 2002 or 3. So many of his books have impacted my life, so many of his messages. And I just know that during his special session at Grow With Video Live, besides the message, the time of prayer, the time of impartation, the time of being together with like-minded, purpose-driven content creators and Christians. You know, our event is not a Christian event, but we definitely have this session where it's all Bible teaching, it's prayer, and I can't wait for John to lead it this year, as well as your chance to just connect with him and other people at the event. So again, if you haven't gotten tickets, you could go to growwithvideolive.com to get your ticket for Grow With Video Live. It's happening in Las Vegas at the M Resort and Hotel. And if you haven't registered, or rather just watched on demand, expandgodskingdom.com. If specifically you're looking for tips of how do I grow as a Christian content creator and some of the mindsets and some of the thinking, I think the belief system that we need to have in place so that we can actually impact a platform like YouTube biblically and conduct ourselves in God's way, in God's pattern, as it pertains to building our influence online. It's kind of a weird conversation because, you know, is it ambition or is it selfish ambition to promote a personal brand? How, as a Christian, do I effectively build God's kingdom, but do it in such a way that I can do it with humility, excellence? And what really does the Bible have to say about growing as an influencer? Such a weird term. And so I think you're going to love this class, and you're also going to be learning so many practical terms. And so if you go to expandgodskingdom.com, you can check that out. So grab a ticket for Grow With Video Live if you're interested. Check out the free class. Check out John's book and even his other books. All of that's linked up in the show notes below. And if you love this episode, wherever you listen or watch, can you like, rate, review, share, and subscribe for future episodes? My name is Sean Cannell, your guide to building a profitable YouTube channel. And I can't wait to connect with you in a future episode of the Think Media Podcast.